This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
It's great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. It's April. Many of us are starting to plan our spring or summer trips. What's it going to cost you at the gas pump? I'm going to talk about that today. And also, I've had a fascination with vertical farming for at least a decade. And there's developing technology that I think is going to make a big difference in the availability and ultimately the cost of food. But right now, I want to talk about what it's looking like on the gasoline front. Number one, the United States is number one. This is the greatest thing for our national security and our strength as a country. We are now the largest producer of oil in the world. And I remember when we had become a 98-pound weakling in energy production. But we are the world's strongest producer. What that means is that countries that might use oil as a weapon against us, like the Russians have tried to do over the last few years, and then the Saudis and the Russians made that deal to try to push prices up, they were unable to succeed because of us. And the world has benefited so much from what we've been able to do by figuring out how to get more energy out of the ground, a lot of it through hydraulic fracking and new technologies that have improved the ability to find good supplies with searches. You know, a lot of oil exploration used to be guessing, and now it's so much more precise. And so what it's meant is that we go through ups and downs with the price of gasoline. It's meant that we have had more control than we've had in the past. As an example, price of gasoline's up about a dime right now versus what it was a year ago. And because of world economies growing again, price is going to move up. But if we didn't have the supplies that we're generating in the United States, I can't even imagine what we'd be facing in a price per gallon. The other factor is that the raw demand around the world is moderating because of the number of people buying electric vehicles, not so much in the United States, but in a number of other countries. A third of cars being purchased now are electric, and that's reducing the demand for gasoline and the oil it comes from. So there's a lot of things going on that are really great because of what the producers have been able to do here in the United States. Also, natural gas. We've been doing a wonderful job producing natural gas in the United States and exporting it to other countries, which, again, keeps natural gas from being a weapon of war, as Putin tried to do. This is really positive stuff. The other aspect of this that is where economics becomes so dismal is that when the price of oil, natural gas go up, it's really good for the companies that are producing it in the United States, even though it hurts you and me as consumers. So it's much better that we're keeping that money in the United States than before when we were importing all of it. But as far as for you, this spring and summer, gasoline is going to be more expensive. There's nothing really on the horizon right now that shows it's going to be terribly more expensive than a year ago when world economies were slower. But it is going to be higher this year. It would take something unexpected in the world to push it much higher. But just know that the price at the pump that you're seeing edge up as it does so often in spring, it's going to edge up more than it did a year ago. It's going to cost you more to fill up again. But nothing on the horizon right now looks really ugly. Krista, I know I used to joke with you about how you didn't know what the cost of gasoline was.
Right.
You have no idea now.
No, I definitely do not.
When's the last time you bought a tank of gas?
I don't even know. At least 4 years. No, when I've rented a car.
When you rent a car.
So last year I did. I had to fill up the gas. Yes, that's true.
So I don't know what it is. I've been driving an electric car now for 13 years, except if I'm in a rental, then I'm in a gas engine car. And I'm still obsessed with the price of gasoline. I'm driving down a road. I'm always looking. Oh, it's that much there and that much there. Old habits die hard.
I mean, you're a numbers man.
I am a numbers man, aren't I?
All right. We'll go to some questions for you, numbers man. This one's from Kelly in Maryland. She says, your advice has helped us accumulate a nest egg that will likely let us retire early. While we can work with a financial advisor to really get into the weeds on how much we'll need to retire at age 60, I find what's missing in the financial universe are rules of thumb for how much you need to retire early. For example, the 4% rule assumes age 65. The rules about how much to have saved assumes age 65 retirement. Do rules of thumb for early retirement exist?
Okay, so let's deal with the 4% rule first. The 4% rule is a guide. It's not like true math, but it works well in most areas. It did not work for the last so many years when the Federal Reserve was artificially holding down interest rates, because the 4% rule, if you're not familiar with it, is the idea that you can retire if you can live on 4% of what you've saved each year, that whatever you have, and that at 4%, if you're invested in a 50-50 mix of stocks and bonds, that the marketplace will rise enough that you'll compensate for inflation, and every year's 4% will be a little more over time because of the gains in your investments. But it's all designed to be a guideline for a 30-year retirement. So if you retire at age 60, it means that the odds increase that your money goes poof by age 90. Now, I've done a lot of reading about this because of all the questions about what do people do about the 4% rule when interest rates were lower on bonds and all that. So what you can do as an alternative is you look at doing, if you're going to retire a little earlier, because 60 is not that much earlier than a retirement age than 65 when you're thinking about lifespans. If you were to dial it back to 3.5%, the math becomes much more compelling that your money would last significantly longer than 30 years. So if you have enough at age 60 that 3.5% of what you saved gives you enough money to live the lifestyle you're happy with, mathematically, you should be absolutely fine going forward in a mix of a traditional balanced portfolio of funds of stocks and bonds. So I don't know that if you want to sit down with a fee-only financial planner and just say, are we good? I think that would be a worthwhile thing because it's a big decision in your life. And I think if you do 3.5, you'll be absolutely fine for an extended period of retirement instead of the traditional thought of 30 years pulling 4% out each year.
Michael in Colorado says, I have an all-in-one mortgage loan with a balance of $146,000 at 8.75%. I know you don't like these loans, so please don't bust my chops.
Okay.
I also have a credit union that offers me an 18-month interest-free Visa advance for a one-time upfront 3%. I've done this in the past, but always seem to question myself. If I take $24,000 toward the Visa, paying off the 3% or $720, and apply it to my AIO, reducing its balance for 18 months to $122,000, I'm thinking I'd save about $130 a month in interest for the 18-month period. I always pay it back in full by the end of the 18 months, so no worries there. I'm a long-time Clarky, so of course my credit is frozen and my FICO score is 822. I usually take a big hit on the FICO maxing out the card, but I really don't care about that. After all, if I need a loan, I borrow from myself with the AIO. But that's a debate for another time.
Okay. So then the question I have for you, Michael, you're going to save this money. Are you going to use it to work to reduce the balance on the AIO? And if you're not familiar with what this is, it's something that we've been asked about for 25 years. It's where you have an account that's both a checking account and a lending account, includes your mortgage and all that, all in one, typically with a floating rate and a high rate at one, in this case, 8.75%. So the goal in my mind is that you should be on a trend line, particularly if you're in an all-in-one, that the goal is to be debt-free. So if you're doing this interest-free loan against the Visa, you should use that extra money to not just have less money you're owing for the 18 months, but to use that payment holiday, that interest holiday, to reduce your overall balance. If you're doing that, I'm all in.
Michael in Connecticut says, you frequently harangue us about the benefits of carry-on luggage only. Well, be aware that I just paid $60 for a carry-on on Avelo for a flight from Florida to New Haven, Connecticut. What is your recommendation? Maybe no clothes like the Emperor?
Okay, first of all, Avelo is an airline I've been following for years. They are now making a profit, and they're a very clever airline. They're kind of below the radar. They operate like a friendlier version of Spirit or Frontier, and everything's extra. So now there are people who are so into avoiding the baggage fees for checked or carry-on bags on the deep discounters, which would include Breeze and Allegiant, in addition to Spirit and Frontier. So there are now people selling suitcases specifically designed to avoid fees. Now, these are micro carry-ons, and I have one of these, and I've used it before when I've flown one of the deep discounters. It can work for a guy in summer, at least this guy, for 5 days worth of stuff. For a woman, it would be less. In winter, it's really hard to do the micro carry-on. There are even companies competing that you can find on Amazon or Walmart Plus that sell these micro carry-ons that have removable wheels, that you remove the wheels from them, and then they fit in the sizers for Frontier and Spirit and various discounters. And then you pop the wheels back on, and you have a rolling carry-on suitcase again that fits the micro conditions. So with the deep discounters, they usually charge you less for a check bag than a carry-on. When my wife Lane and I were in Europe recently and we flew Ryanair, which I need to do an update on, because when I posted something about Ryanair, my flight on Ryanair on social media, people had a million questions following. So I need to do an update on the deep discounters, including Ryanair, which is the largest airline in Europe. We checked our bags. Yeah, that's right. The no check bag man checked his bag. Why? Because it was cheaper to check a bag than it was to pay for carry-on. And that's consistent with the deep discounters. The reason is they want quick turns of their aircraft. So they don't want people jostling for overhead bin space. They want people to get on the plane, sit down in a seat, close the door, and go. And in reverse, they want people to be able to basically run off the plane when they get to where they've gotten to. And that's why Avelo would have charged you a fortune, $60 to put a carry-on on, and it might have been half that for a check bag. So you can do what I do on a shorter trip and carry one of these micro carry-ons. And if you go on Amazon, you can see personal item size for Frontier, personal item size for Spirit, whatever. And there are all these people selling these bags starting at $10 that will fit in the sizer, and you can take very little amount of stuff on your trip. Or you could just wear the same clothes day after day after day and not have any baggage charge. But remember my trash bag rule. When you fly, Spirit, Frontier, Allegiant, Avalo, or Breeze, always have a plastic trash bag with you because they charge often $100 at the gate if your bag does not fit in the sizer. I learned this watching people at a Spirit gate. They just abandon their suitcase and put their stuff in a plastic trash bag, and that'll fit in the sizer, and they go on the plane.
That is insane.
You wouldn't do that?
I don't know. It's just funny.
To save $100?
Well, probably, I guess. Depends on what the suitcase costs, right? And then
well,
you've
if
got
you
a
just
trash
pay $10
bag
for it on it? Amazon for the suitcase.
Oh my gosh.
You abandon the suitcase instead of having a $100 charge. I know your answer is don't fly one of the deep discounters. But the fares are so great.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I do need to cover the deep discounters soon.
Because yes, we'll do that. Yeah.
They carry such a significant percent of passengers in the United States now and in other countries. Coming up ahead, I want to talk about the problems we have with food supply in the United States and around the world, and something that I love that people have been trying and succeeding and failing and trying again with, and that's growing food in vertical farms. There are more and more positive developments in that area.
Spring is a great time for a fresh start. Cleaning, planning, gardening, new outdoor activities, and new clothes. And here's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the entire year. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses such as mortgage payments and tuition while getting back on their feet. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help talk you through it. Policy Genius has licensed, award-winning agents and technology that makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Perhaps you already have a life insurance policy through work. Did you know that it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job? With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. It's no wonder that Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best insurance fit for their family's needs. Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverage that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
I am such a fan of experimentation that's going on in growing food free of pesticides and with dramatically less water being used. And the whole idea of vertical farms, which may even be hiding in plain sight near where you live, is that they have that combo effect. that you're able to grow food in a controlled environment every day of the year and reduce water consumption, depending on the vertical farm, to 2% or 3% of what was used before. In other words, 97, 98% of the water used now to grow crops is no longer needed to grow crops. And when you think about the extreme water shortages that we've been trying to navigate around in agricultural regions in the mountain states, the Mountain West, and the West Coast, if we can reduce the amount of water used by agriculture by 97, 98%, obviously that is a magnificent benefit to society. If you're not familiar with the whole idea of vertical farming, you build a state-of-the-art warehouse that can be adjacent to major population centers, and you eliminate a lot of the transportation costs with agriculture. You grow crops indoors, perfectly temperature controlled, every day of the year. And you know how Elon Musk popularized this word giga plant, giga factory, giga. Now they're building giga farms for growing food. And a lot of these have had trouble making money. But every wave of new technology is steadily more successful than the one before. And not having to worry about insects, and then in turn, not having to use pesticides, and being able to reduce the water and the waste. And the big thing with these vertical farms is they're now learning how to use everything left over in different ways, as animal feed, things like that. So feeding the world's population at an affordable price and having a safe food supply, all these things work together with the idea of vertical farming. And those of us that are city suburban folks, which is what, 90% of the American people, something like that, it's only peripherally something we're aware of is the cost. And I think about how hard being a farmer is. I mean, this is brutal stuff, and how much the success or failure of a farmer's year is based on weather conditions. And if you build in an interior space, the farmer's year is so much more predictable. You don't have to worry so much that, you know, we're in a drought year or we're in a year of floods or whatever. You're able to produce food that is a reliable supply of food. And of course, always there'll be things I haven't thought about, like some kind of fungus that grows inside a building that may not have grown outside or whatever. But innovation is always a part of life. And if you think about early in our nation's history, 97% of Americans earned their living on a farm. 97%. Today, it's a fraction of 1% because of continuous improvement, continuous technology that has made farming much more efficient. This, to me, is just one more stage, one more step in it. And when I go through the supermarket, and I think about even in my beloved Aldi, how Aldi changes with the marketplace. And you go down the aisles and there's organic, 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 organic. This is a big desire of not just the American people, but people in so many countries to be able to buy organic stuff. And Chris, I know it kills you. I mean, I'll be in a store and I'll see the price of the organic, the price of the regular. And I can't make that leap to that extra price. But with the vertical farming, it wouldn't even be a question, because it would all be your organic kind of stuff. So I think this is a real positive development for the world, and especially for farmers. I mean, think about what they do. Every year, farmers put their family's net worth on the line, planting crops, having no idea if that's going to be a money loser or a money win that year, and potentially losing that farm that could be in a family for generations. Smarter ways of doing things reduce that risk. And to me, the vertical farming is a perfect example of that.
All right, we'll go to questions. This one's from Brent in California. Clark, any recommendations on where to set up an HSA? I do have a high deductible health plan.
So there's one company that has done the best job, as best I've been able to discover, on health savings accounts, and that's Fidelity Investments. Fidelity has an entire section of their website on their HSA accounts. And so Fidelity makes it possible, because if you're using an HSA for long-term benefit, you want to invest the money. You don't want it in some regular old savings account. And so Fidelity, you can invest pretty much in anything. Their index funds, their exchange-traded funds, whatever you want, and build a portfolio in that HSA. And remember, you get an upfront tax benefit. The money grows tax-free. You spend it tax-free for eligible health expenses. So it's even superior to my Roth IRA. The man from Roth says there's something better. And Fidelity is the best I know of, at least to this moment, for putting money in an HSA. Now, a lot of employers will have arrangements with terrible, terrible HSA providers that charge crazy fees and put your money in ultra-low interest savings accounts. But you have the right to have your HSA money where you want to have it, and Fidelity, to me, is the superior choice.
Valerie in Wisconsin says, I've noticed that on my financial and medical documents, there are small QR codes. Should I be worried about personal information being exposed if somebody scans this code, or should I be shredding these documents?
Okay, so first of all, I am stunned because I've not seen that. Have you seen QR codes? If you're seeing QR codes on medical documents that you don't need after you've reviewed them, I like the idea of shredding them. I mean, I've got a shredder that I work overtime in my house. I think that's a great idea. But the QR code, if it's on, like you said, financial documents as well, go ahead and scan one of those just to see, what is it doing? Does it take you to your account? What does it do on that statement?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a bill, certainly it probably is just a quick way. They just want to get you to a place where you can pay the bill. So it's probably like you scan it and it takes you to the payment site for the medical bill, is what I would assume.
Valerie said it's also financial documents.
Yeah.
So if it's just to take you to where you can pay, criminals aren't exactly interested in sending money to someone. They're only interested in taking money. So that QR code would probably not be that risky or that concerning, as best that I know. But any documents that you no longer need, I love you shredding them. I had a situation recently I've not talked about. I've had a collection agency calling me about a lab bill. Oh. And so I asked them to send me a copy of the original lab bill, which I just got. This is so funny. It shows the item and it shows zero balance. So now I'm trying to explain to the collection agency they're trying to collect from me for an unpaid medical bill that has no balance.
That's insane.
Never heard that before,
no.
Have you?
Oh my gosh. Okay, John in California says, I'm currently in what my friends call a career pause. I call it voluntary unemployment for mental health rejuvenation and life goal evaluation. Luckily, in part due to your years of sage advice, I am able to afford this break before attempting to resume employment. Do you have any advice for someone in this situation? I'm afraid I might get too comfortable not working, but I know that money doesn't grow on trees. I'm paying my bills, have medical coverage, and luckily do not have to dip into my emergency savings yet.
So if you've done such a good job saving money, that's what it's for, to build financial independence or to deal, I mean, initially it's to deal with life's unexpected expenses. You reach the point where you saved enough money that you had the freedom to make this choice to take a time out in life. That's the thing I talk about, that having money piled up is not the end in itself. It's what does that money buy you? And in your case, it bought you the freedom that you could do your career pause. So you'll know when you reach the point that you are getting to where you'd have to hit your emergency fund, that's when your pause is over. And that's when you got to go back to work. You'll know when you're getting to the point where the money you built up over the years, you're wheezing on, and then you'll get back out there and you should be able to get back out there. You're worried you'll not be motivated anymore. I'm expecting it'll be the opposite. You needed a career timeout. You took it. And my guess is that what will result from this is when you come back, you'll be reinvigorated and you'll be excited by a new challenge. You know, when I took 4 years off in my 30s, I ended up in this new life that I do today. I didn't know I was going to end up here, but by taking the 4 years off that I thought was retirement, it created a clean slate that led to a whole new life. So I'm a big fan of doing what you're doing, John, and you'll know when you got to get back to it, whatever back to it turns out to be. And I hope that you have an absolutely wonderful day. Remember what we're about, that you learn ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. For what purpose? So you're in charge.